But I may say that again, just not in so many words. Now, so far, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. I am still, I don't have a mouse in my pocket. I am still on the subject of the temple of God. Brief review again. Remember, we've looked at carnality, what it actually is, as expressed by Paul in this chapter. We also kind of looked at what it is not, but we looked at what carnality is. Carnality is to brag on a gospel preacher. That's carnality. And we also looked at the fact that God brings the increase.
Amen.
And let me just simplify. If and when anyone is saved, it's God that gets all the credit, because in effect, God does all the work. Thirdly, we've looked at the fact that there is only one foundation. Paul says so. Paul said, I've laid that foundation. We've looked at that truth. And that truth, let me try to simplify, boil that down. That truth is this. My salvation is not based upon faith, not based upon repentance. Right. It's not even based upon regeneration and conversion.
That's right. Yeah.
My faith is not even based upon my perseverance unto the end.
That's right.
My faith is not even based upon the fact that God preserved me unto the end. Mm-hmm. Or my faith, I said. My salvation. It's not based upon, my salvation is not based upon what God does to me. Although what God does to me is essential and absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
My salvation and your salvation, all of salvation is based upon what Christ has done for us.
Amen.
Everything that he does to us is subsequent or based upon the fact of what he's done for us. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the foundation of the gospel. It's the truth. It's the foundation stone upon which everything else is built. And I could preach on that again, but I won't. Also, we also looked at our works being revealed. And I preached one message upon that. Well, that's about all I know of it. Well, that's about all it says.
Yeah.
It basically says this. And this is talking about our best efforts.
Sir.
The efforts that we engage in building upon the foundation.
Right.
It's not talking about our failures or our sins or our faults. Now, two things. One thing, your sins will not be judged by the fire. Your sins and my sins had best be have been judged by the blood, or we will be judged for them. This passage here, when it talks about works being revealed, has nothing to do with our sins, but it does have to do with our works. Which may or not be a sin, Joe. It may or not be. But the truth is this. Some men's works will be burned, and that man will suffer loss. What that means, I do not know. I'm not saying it's not even in the Bible. I'm just telling you I don't know, and I will not. I refuse to run to another passage when I have no reason to believe it's talking about this exact same time and tell you that's what it means. Because I don't know that. But it does say this. Some men's works will be burned, and that person will suffer loss.
Yes.
But they themselves will be saved, yet so as by fire. But it also says some men's work will abide.
Yes, sir.
Right? The fire will not burn these works up. Their works will abide, which he hath built thereupon, and that person shall receive a reward.
Amen.
Let me tell you, that's in God's hands.
Yes, sir.
And as a believer, we will stand before Christ and we will give an account of ourselves to God.
Exactly.
There are some people that don't believe that, that even claim to believe in grace.
Yeah.
That doesn't frighten me, but it does give me some apprehension.
Yeah.
It doesn't frighten me, because I know if I'm in Christ, Joe, I'm received of Christ.
Yes, sir.
He has died for me. He loves me. So it's not that I'm afraid of that day, but I do have some apprehension. You know why? Because I know that everything I've done, that I've built, even upon the foundation, let alone talk about some other stuff.
Yeah.
But even the things that I've done in building upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified are subject to scrutiny. And some of those things may well be burned. But now we're looking at the temple of God. And basically, let me just give this brief review, because I do want to move on. God takes harm to his people. God takes this harm personally.
Yes, sir.
I'll quote the scripture again. That God, now it's said to Israel. It was said to Israel. And it was true.
Yes,
God
sir.
Takes this harm to him, his people personally. He said, he that touches you touches the apple of my eye.
Amen.
The iris. Now, we are so made that in almost all cases, there may be a few, but Joe, that probably would have to have something, some medical problem wrong. Anything comes at your eye, what happens?
Yeah.
Your eyelid will automatically try to close.
Yeah.
It is one of the most tender spots in the body on the outward face.
Yeah.
But God, get back to God takes harm to his people personally. Somebody says that's to the Jews. That's right. And I have been grafted into the Jewish stock.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, it applies to me.
Yes, sir.
Paul and I talked about this the other day. I am premillennial, but let me tell you, I do not believe the separation between Israel and the state, or Israel and the state. Israel, see, I got that all that politics going on. Between Israel and the church is so set that I have no part with Israel. Or that Israel has no part with the church. I just don't believe the church is Israel. Any more than I believe the church is Gentile. But let me tell you, we have been grafted into the root stock of Israel.
Amen.
And when God says to Israel, he that touches you touches the apple of my eye, he means that for every one of his elect.
Yes, sir.
Every one of his elect. And according to Paul, and let me read the passage again, verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Paul is saying, someone that defiles you, someone that corrupts you, someone that does you harm, I will do him harm.
Yes, sir.
That's what Paul said. That's what Paul is saying, God says.
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, this passage says this, God will judge.
Yes, sir.
Right? That God will judge. But it indicates, it, although it does not specifically say it, Mason, it indicates God also protects.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? God protects. Now, let me stop here for a moment and say this, that the scripture, I'm persuaded my words thus far, even the doctrine of the Bible, that's the teaching of the Bible, and all of the examples of the lives of God's people given in the Bible. And I think most of us would agree that even our lives in general prove that while God does protect his people, it is far from some supernatural force field over us where nothing ever touches us.
Exactly.
You see, when most people think of protection, they think of something, they think of protection in the way of absolutes.
Yeah.
In other words, if God protects me from a car crash, I'll not be in one. No, he might put you in one, but save you through it.
Yeah.
Or he might put you in one and kill you and take you on to heaven. That's protection too, ain't it?
Yeah.
He protected you from having to live another day in this world.
That's right. Amen.
That's protection too. It's all based upon our perspective.
Yeah.
And I'm saying how we see that, you see. Now, first of all, two things, first of all. One, this is not a message. The message I preach, and that's not so much the point, but that is a part of it. The message of the scripture is not a message of pie in the sky,
yeah,
in the sweet by and by.
Yeah.
The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not this. Come to Christ and your problems will be over. I cannot lie to you. Well, I could, but I won't. But the truth, I guess I can still say, Joe, I can't lie because of principle. I can't lie to you and say, you come to Christ, all your troubles will be over. What I have to tell you come to Christ, your troubles are just beginning.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if that makes you not want to come to Christ, then don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because if you truly come to him, that's when your troubles begin. Life will not get easier. It will get harder. You say in some respects. No, in all respects. It's going to get harder. You see, God is not a lucky rabbit's foot.
Exactly.
We don't stick God in our pocket and he's there to protect us. Mm-hmm. Now, some people hold to this idea in effect.
Oh, yeah.
They basically say, you come to Jesus, you come to, they don't, usually don't say Christ. And you notice that.
Yeah.
Usually they'll say, come to Jesus. Now, that's not in itself bad until you listen to everything else they say. And then you realize they really believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the Christ of God.
Amen. That's right.
And there are a lot of... Now, Paul, our Lord never said there's a lot of Christs. Well, there ain't but one Christ.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of Jesuses.
Right. Exactly.
You see. There's a lot of Jesuses. But some hold to this. You come to Jesus. They may even say, you come to Christ, and everything will at least start to get better. And if you really have enough faith, it will get better.
Yeah.
And any inconsistency is always blamed on who? You.
Right.
Your free will or your lack of faith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's easy out.
Yes, sir.
That's real easy. But let me give you this. That's two things. Here's the third and the fourth thing. It is as it is with God's people. Things happen to God's people. Let me be even more particular. Everything that happens to God's people, no exceptions. Is that clear enough?
Yeah.
I mean everything that happens to God's people. Now the reprobate, that's another subject, but I'm not dealing with that. The people who are not saved, the people who are lost, even people who don't believe, that's not what I'm dealing with. It is as it is with God's people because God sovereignly purposed it exactly like it happened. Look at the case of Job. And Job is the prime example of Scripture. Job's not a little story like we get in the Chronicles or the Kings or the Judges where you have two or three chapters devoted to one man. Job is a whole book of what, 40? We have divided into what, 42, 43 chapters. It's a long book devoted to what? The sufferings and pain of one man. Right? That book's important and it's vital. And here's what we find out about Job. And I'm afraid most people, Joe, like you said, they don't know this.
Yeah.
They really don't know this. Everybody said everybody knows. They don't know this. The fact is, Satan did not go to heaven and present himself to God, and that's what happened. The sons of God came to present themselves there, and Satan was there amongst them, it says. And God looked at Satan and said, have you thought about Job? Satan never even brought up the subject of Job. God did.
That's right.
And basically, Satan says this. You put a force field around him.
Yep.
I didn't consider him because I couldn't touch him.
Exactly.
The word used in the Old Testament is you put a hedge about him.
Yep.
You got a big wall, a big fence around him. I can't get to him. I can't touch him. God said, I'll let you touch him.
Yep.
And he said, basically, you can do anything you want to Job, but what? But kill him. You do everything. Satan took everything Job owned. All of it, all of his cattle. And Job had a big farm.
Yes, sir.
Satan took every one of his children. Killed them, everyone. What was it, seven of them? Six or seven? That's a lot of kids to lose in one day at one time. And then Job lost his health.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, he lost his companionship with his wife.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you ever been married, you know what that can be like too.
Yeah.
If you actually lose that, I mean, to have someone, your spouse say to you, why don't you retain your integrity, curse God and die?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you just kill yourself?
Yeah.
That's real encouragement, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm? But the fact is, this happened to Job because God purposed for it to happen to Job.
Yes, sir.
And let me give you why. Somebody says why? Because God could see, so that Job would see God as God is.
Amen.
That's why it happened to Job.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate reason. Everything happens as it happens to you and I, so that we will ultimately, in the end, say God is God.
Amen.
He does as he pleases among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And if you can say that and mean it, you're getting somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Or better put, God is taking you somewhere.
That's it.
and God will bring you back. First of all, or the third thing is, it is as it is with God's people because God sovereignly purposed it so. But let me also say that God protects according to his sovereign will.
Yeah.
And then what is it? Now, he could have said, now you can take his animals and you can take his kids, but you can't take his health or his life, couldn't he? He could have said you can take his health, but you can't take anything else, couldn't he? He could have said you can take his kids, but you can't take his animals, or you can't take his health. But God said, here's what you can take. And let me tell you, God don't always allow Satan to take everything he took with Job, with all of God's people, does he? God says to Satan, you can take that and that's it. And somebody says, why? How does God control Satan? Because God's in control of everything.
Amen.
Satan is not God's arch enemy.
Exactly.
Satan is God Almighty's creation.
That's right.
Now, not that God created Satan sinful.
No,
that's not, but he is still. As he was originally created, he is God Almighty's creation, as all the angels are.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. God holds everything in his sovereign control.
Amen.
Now, if he can control Satan, bless our heart, he can control us.
Sir.
Scripture says the king's heart's in the Lord's hands. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, how proud is a king?
Yeah.
How proud is a king? How proud would a man be who has what he thinks to be absolute control?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, well, you're saying God's got that. That's right. And he has the right to have that.
That's right.
God has the right to be self-centered.
Yeah. Yeah.
God has the right to brag on his ego. God has the right to say, I.
Yeah. Amen.
As a matter of fact, you remember what he told Moses?
Yeah.
When Moses said, who am I going to say you are? Who do I tell the people down here in Egypt, these Jews there in Egypt, who do I say sent me? You know what God said? If you put it in the Greek, it would be put this way. Ego exists.
Yeah.
I am.
Exactly.
Ego exists. God is absolute ego.
Yes, sir.
That's what he is. Yep. He's I am. Yep. And let me tell you, God is.
Amen.
But he ain't as he is. I am. But as I say, God protects according to his sovereign will. Now this is what makes it often difficult. Not difficult to believe. It's not difficult. I believe that. It simply sometimes makes it difficult to comprehend in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Think about this. God purposes hurt, trouble, and pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He purposes hurt, trouble, and pain. He did so with Job.
Yeah.
Now, if he'd done so with Job, he'd do so with us.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
But I'll go even further. God even purposed falling.
Yeah.
It is allowed by God to take place. Mm-hmm. You remember what our Lord said to Peter?
Yeah.
He said, Peter, Satan has desired you. And notice, he didn't say Satan demanded you. Satan doesn't demand anything of God. No one demands anything of God. And he who does is a fool.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
He's a fool. No, Satan desired you to sift you as wheat. And he was sifted as wheat is sifted, wasn't he? And let me tell you, he was only sifted as wheat because God, for that specific time, temporarily brought the hedge down. Didn't he? But let me tell you something. Peter wasn't going to deny Christ long as God was had that hedge there. And the glorious thing to me, and I didn't see this for years, because I, to some respects, I know what it's like to fall. Do you? I know what it's like as a believer to sin against my God and be ashamed of it. Do you? But here was the glory. Not in the fact that he was permitted to fall, but that God determined how far he would fall and how long he would fall.
Amen.
That it would not last indefinitely. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Therefore, the truth is this. He could not deny him four times.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
Huh?
Exactly.
Right? Yes, he was going to deny him three times and be ashamed of it. Yes, but he wasn't going to deny him four times, was he?
Right.
Why? Because God said so.
Exactly.
God said so. Now, the problem is, when you look at Scripture and all the examples, when you look at your life, the problem is there's not a set system to figure out how, when, and with whom, and how far God does this. Does it? You can't say, all right, we'll all be treated like Job was. But that's almost what you'd call a worst case scenario.
Yeah,
wouldn't it? Unless maybe you're like somebody else. Huh? Here's the whole point. There is no set way. God doesn't say, I always bring pain this way. I always bring this much pain.
Yeah.
Always bring this little pain. There is no set way. God is absolutely sovereign.
Amen.
The trouble you and I have faced as a believer, as believers now, I'm not even dealing with us before we were believers, and I'm not dealing with people who will never be believers.
Exactly.
I'm dealing with us who believe after we believe. The problem is God deals with us as he's pleased to deal with us.
Yes, sir.
There are some of us who experience fallings, sins that others won't even think of.
Yeah, that's right.
There are certain things that some of us will, God will allow us to engage in. That's probably not the best way to say it, but mm-hmm. he will allow us to see what we really are.
Yeah.
When others are not even tempted in that area.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We are not the same kind. We are different people. We are different persons. You know, some persons, well, I just can't see how that person could do that. I'm talking about believers now. I don't see how they could do that. I understand you don't see that. You don't feel that within your makeup. You don't have a problem with that, but that person does.
Exactly. Yeah.
That person has a real problem with this or that thing. And somebody said, well, I've seen this trouble come up. Why don't they just raise themselves up? They can't.
Exactly.
They just can't. Why? Because God brought them down.
Amen.
And he won't let them up until it's his time to lift them up.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's why. And I'm not saying you're sinful when you think that way, because I've thought that way too. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. When I know I didn't do myself that way.
Exactly.
Right? But we want everybody else to do themselves that way. I wish you could. It might give me some hope in myself, but I ain't got none. I don't have any. Now, here's another thing. God also judges those who hurt his own just as sovereignly as well.
Yeah.
You know, if it was me and somebody hurt somebody I love, I'd smack them right away. There wouldn't be no waiting. It wouldn't happen tomorrow. Except on occasion, I might would sneak up behind them and get them while they wasn't looking.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. Just find a big 2x4 and watch them while their back's turned in. Just crack them upside the head. Somebody said, boy, you're mean. God goes a lot further than that sometimes. But you think, let me give you an illustration. I'm saying God also sovereignly judges those who hurt his own just as sovereignly as everything else. I read of a man named Saul of Tarsus who did what? He hurt God's people. Physically had them put in jail to where they would be killed.
Yeah.
Right? I hear of him when Stephen, remember, he was stoned to death. And that has to be a horrendous way to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To have somebody stone you to death with rocks.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Stephen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And guess who was holding the... You know, it's not... I put that coat on, I can fling a rock, take that coat off, what can you do? You're not as bad. You can fling that rock a little harder. What did they do? They took their coats off.
Yeah.
And who was holding their coats?
Yeah.
A man named Saul of Tarsus. And guess what God did to that man?
Yep.
What did God do to him? God saved him.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And then I hear of a man named Herod mm-hmm. who troubled the church by putting Peter in jail and killing a couple folk.
Yeah.
Just two, mind you.
Yep.
He killed just two. And what did God do when he didn't give God the glory, when people started bragging on him as though he was some god, God killed him on the spot and worms ate his body.
Yes, sir.
That's sovereign. Why didn't God save Herod? He didn't do as much bad as Saul of Tarsus, Joe. Exactly. But God Almighty is sovereign. But let me tell you something. God Almighty punished Saul of Tarsus in his substitute.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God Almighty punished Herod in himself. And Herod went to hell, and Herod will wind up in the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somebody says, I just don't get that. You would if you knew grace. If you knew grace, you'd get it.
Yeah.
You could understand that. You could comprehend that. And here's the scripture. Now, here, let me give you this. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And I quoted this. Let me find Ecclesiastes. Where is that? After Proverbs, isn't it? I should have said before Song of Solomon. That is a hard one to find too. Right? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, who's that? Who's saying that? What's that talking about? Pretty much that's talking about any time.
Yeah.
When you let a man go, he just wants to do more and more and more. He thinks, and she thinks, I got away with it.
Exactly.
But they ain't got away with it. You see, the whole point is, God Almighty judges in His way and in His good time. There's been many other people in Scripture, some of them God saved, that were harmful to God's people. What happened? God saved them.
Yes, sir.
He saved them. Redeemed. Forgave them, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Did not punish them personally
exactly.
for these acts, but other people. So much so that even the Apostle Paul himself felt this animosity toward one man. You don't read that much in the Bible. But he said, Alexander the coppersmith done me much evil. He resisted my words. He hurt me. God reward him according to his works.
Amen.
That's a tough statement.
Yes, sir.
Now let me tell you something. I don't know that I can say there's anybody I know that I want to go to hell.
Yeah.
Now I may not have just met that person yet.
Yeah.
They may be out there. There's some people I wish God would knock around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that he would put it to them. You know, because of the things they did to me, or maybe just because I don't like them. You know, it doesn't matter. I just wish God smack them around a little bit. But I don't can't say I know of anybody that I want to go to hell. But I know this: God Almighty's purpose to send some people there for their sins.
Yeah.
They're gonna go there. But I know this: it's His sovereign purpose to do so. It's in His hands. So the truth is this. According to Romans 12, verse 19, judgment nevertheless will come.
Yeah.
Well, God tells us, don't you take vengeance. Somebody hurts you? Somebody does you wrong? What does He say? Take your hands off of the matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean if somebody steals something off of you, you can't call the police.
No.
That's not what it's talking about. But vengeance is mine, God says. Right?
Yeah.
But what does He what does he say?
Yeah.
Most everybody said, don't take vengeance because God says vengeance is mine. And they stop, like there's a period there.
Yeah.
That's not what it says. It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay,
amen,
saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
They'll get what's coming to them.
Exactly.
And let me say, people that hurt God's people will get what's coming to them.
Yes, sir.
But they'll get what's coming to them in God's good time. Now, let's kind of take note of this. I want to give you, my time's about up, but turn to Romans chapter 8. And time just went by so quick. For me, anyway, maybe not for you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. Romans chapter 8. And you know this passage. And I've mentioned this before. But here's the thing. You know, God protects me, then why did that happen? Remember, there is good in it. We know that because it says that here, right? But I'm not even going to read that part. What I want to start with is verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, He doesn't say no one is against us, because they are.
Yeah.
But He says, who can be?
Yeah.
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Or peril or sword? And you see, it's a question.
Yeah.
Right? No, it's a question. Yeah. Now, automatically, our minds would say, what shall? And we want to hear, nothing shall separate us. But that's not what we're told first. Now, we're ultimately told that.
Yeah.
But what does it say?
Yeah.
Paul, where does Paul revert to? The place we all best revert to, the Scripture.
Yeah.
As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Amen. He's cheerful.
Huh? Yeah, that's cheerful, ain't it? Huh? Paul is dealing with reality.
Yes, sir.
Yes, God is for us and no one can be against us. But God may let them do whatever he wants them to do to us.
Exactly.
That's his business.
Yes, sir.
Just like Job. Just like Peter. Just like Paul. Just like us. We are what? We are killed a whole the day long.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you, I'd just soon not be a martyr for the Lord. I'd just soon die in my sleep or him come today. Well, that's what I'd rather have. Now, not everybody feels that way, and that's fine. But I'd just soon not. I wouldn't mind being a soldier of the Lord. I don't mind getting out there fighting, Mason. I just don't want somebody to get the best of me.
Exactly.
You know? I would rather be on the top side rather than on the bottom side.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, that's not the point. It ain't up to me.
Amen.
I have no choice in the matter.
Exactly.
Well, if you believe God enough, this will happen. The Apostle Paul, I would say, believed God as much as anybody.
Yeah.
If not more so. And what happened to him?
Yeah.
Tradition tells us he lost his head.
Yeah.
No, see, it has nothing to do. It's not up to us. We have no choice in the matter. Why? We are killed all the day long. We are accounted for the slaughter. Then look, nay, in all these things.
Yeah.
Not even through them.
No,
but what? In them. What? Persecution, tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. In these things, we are more than conquerors. Do I feel like that? You may not feel like that. I bet you, Job. Look back at Job. He didn't feel like that. But what is the patience of Job?
Yeah.
Here's the patience of Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
Therefore, you're winning. If you can believe that.
Yes, sir.
If you can say that and mean it.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, that takes the grace of God.
Exactly.
To be able to say that. And somebody said, well, I don't know if I feel that way right now. That's because God ain't killing you right now.
That's right.
You don't need that right now.
Exactly.
But if he ever decides to let the hedge down and let somebody come at you with the sword, metaphorically or literally,
yeah,
he'll give you the grace that's necessary to deal with that and to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
Why? Because nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us.
Amen.
Let me give you this. You see, it's not, somebody said, well, God protects us mentally, but not necessarily spiritually. Well, that's not true, is it? Well, God protects us spiritually, but not necessarily mentally. Well, that's not true either. Give you illustration. Paul said, these two men, remember, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they overthrew the faith of some.
Yeah.
It didn't say they took their faith away, but they overthrew it. They caused them to doubt, Mason.
Yeah.
Caused them to wonder if what they had been believing was really right.
Mm-hmm.
So even your faith can be overthrown.
Yeah.
But yet you may still be one of God's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But even Paul, who had faith,
yeah,
he said there was a time when trouble came to him. It's in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 where he says it. But he said, we despaired. And I guess Paul's talking about himself and the men that were with him. He said, we despaired even of life. That's mental.
Yeah.
And that's a mental problem, you know. But he says, but God saved us in the past. God has been saving us now. And we trust he will yet save us.
Amen.
The word there is deliver. It's the same word. No, it's not. See, it's not, well, God always protects me in this area. That's my protection. Over here is up for grabs. No. God Almighty protects us everywhere. And every, you eat what you eat because your body is as it is because God Almighty made it that way.
Yeah.
You are where you are because God put you there.
Yeah.
Couple statements. A failed battle skirmish does not necessitate a lost war. Just because you failed in a battle, that doesn't mean you lost the war. God won the war. Joe said it. God won the war.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're still skirmishing.
Oh, yeah.
We're still out there fighting, but God Almighty's won the war. And let me say another, give you another phrase. A lost battle has no is no lost battle if the loss was strategic in nature.
Yeah.
Huh?
And
we give it a lost battle is no lost battle at all if the loss was strategic in nature. Sometimes God purposes we lose some battles.
Well, yeah.
To continue one, a couple reasons. One, to continue to prove to us how weak we are, that we can, this battle's not ours,
amen,
it's the Lord's.
Amen.
But also he does that so that we will cling to him, look to him, trust him. You know, I'm not saying God will win in the end, though he will. God's winning right now. What does Micah say? You can turn to it later if you want or now. But Micah chapter 7, verse 8, and I see I can't quote it. And here at the last moment, I got to go find Micah. I have trouble with it. Look at that. Turn right to it. Huh? How about that now? You know what that meant? I don't know. Micah 7. Verse 8, listen to this. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall.
Yeah.
Now notice it doesn't say if I fall.
No, no.
It says when. Why? Because you live long enough, you will.
Yeah.
You're going to fall. You're going to sin.
Yes, sir.
You're going to fail, whether it's wittingly or unwittingly, knowingly or unknowingly, intentional or unintentional. You're going to fall. It's not if you fall. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. What does it say? I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, what does it say? The Lord shall be a light unto me. We're not talking about God winning in the end. God's winning right now.
Amen.
And while we may lose a battle, God ain't lost the battle. While we might lose a skirmish, God ain't lost the skirmish. And remember, your loss may be strategic. If you do lose, God purposed it for you. For his, for your good and for his glory.
Amen.
Now you will not see that when you lose.
No.
You won't see that until God's pleased to what? Be a light. When you sit in darkness. So there is going to be a darkness, Joe. But still, God will be your light.
Amen.
When I fall, what's going to happen? I'm going to arise again. Mm-hmm. Why? Because though the righteous fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And that's one of the differences between those who make a profession and really it's real and those who make a profession and don't. It's not that the righteous, the saved, don't fall. They fall just like the false professor does.
Oh, yeah.
It's that the righteous keeps getting up.
Yes, sir.
He may fall seven times. He may fall 70 times seven.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But he's going to be raised up again. Why? Because God Almighty protects him. The protection is not keeping us from falling. It's making sure we don't stay down there.
Exactly.
Right? That's the protection. It's not that he keeps you from falling. He'll keep you from staying down there.
Exactly.
Well, somebody said, well, I've been there a long time. How long does it last? I don't know. There is no set record. That tells you 70 times 7. If your brother sins against you, how often do I forgive him? Isn't that what Peter asked? That's a pretty blunt, point blank question, right? Our Lord said 70 times 7. Now, if you do that to me, and you're expecting that long, just look out.
Yeah.
Because you may have to do me the same way.
Yeah.
See, what applies to you applies to me. And after about the 10th time, I'm going to be pretty peeved off. And I'm going to get fed up.
Yeah.
Huh? You say, well, I wouldn't be that way. Well, you know, don't stick around me too much because you might rub off on me. No, I might rub off on you. However you want to look at that. Now, what is this? God's not going to win in the end. Everything that happens, happens for the good of God's people and the glory of God.
Amen. That's right.
And whether we see it right now, whether I can explain how it is right now, that's not the point. It will be manifest in the end, but it's still true right now.
Yes, sir.
Right now. So it basically boils down to this. And let me just, I'll read this one to you. It's Daniel chapter 4. Well, I know there are people in this world that think when it comes to the sovereignty of God, well, that's just that deep stuff.
Yeah.
No, that's not the deep stuff. That's the primer of the truth of God's word, that God Almighty's God.
Yes, sir.
That's not the deep stuff. The deep stuff is Christ's impeccability as a man. That's deep.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's a tough subject. Mm-hmm. But here it is. Let me read you this. Verse 34, Daniel chapter 4. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? No, you're so great in God's sight. No, you're nothing. Now, nothing's worse than something.
Exactly.
A small speck of dust is something. We're not even that.
Yeah.
A pile of dung, something.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even that.
That's right. Yeah.
And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now somebody says, if God is sovereign, why don't everybody know that? Because they're that depraved.
Yeah.
We are that depraved. It takes God, just like with Nebuchadnezzar, bringing us down into the dust of the earth before we will acknowledge what is evident all around us. God's sovereign. You've made plans and I've made plans, and what happened to them? They said, right? It's almost like I get to where I'm afraid to make a plan.
Yeah.
Because when I do, it never happens like I want to. So I try to use reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want that to happen. I want that. It don't work either.
Yeah.
You know, we know. It's all evidenced around us. We're just so depraved we don't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when God opens your eyes, when God gives you a heart to perceive, you'll see it. And I think it was Ralph Dell that quoted from Edwards or one of those old preachers. He said, sovereignty I love to ascribe to my God. Formerly, it was not so.
Exactly.
And somebody says, how did you get to sovereignty from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and those two verses where God says, anybody defiles my temple, I will destroy them.
Yeah.
Now, you've got to be sovereign to say that.
That's exactly
right.
Right? Yes, sir.
You've got to be sovereign. If I say, if you do something wrong to me, I'll get you, that may or may not be right.
Yeah.
Because you may get me enough to where I can't get you back.
Uh-huh.
But you can't get God too much.
Exactly right.
You know?
Yeah.
God Almighty is absolutely sovereign. And he protects us in the meanwhile. No matter where you are, what's happened to you, remember, if you're his, he owns you lock, stock, and barrel. And what's happening to you, he purposed it.
Amen.
And we pray, Joe, that God give us that grace that we'll say, though he slay me. And not just to say it, but when he starts to kill me,
yep,
I'm trusting him.
Yep.
Trusting him. Father, as we part our ways, may we be mindful of one another. May we think upon one another, pray for one another. And Lord, may our hearts and minds in doing that be centered around the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it in his name. Amen.